the bug. Sometimes it all comes together, but sometimes you're a fool in love. Sometimes you're the Louisville Slugger, sometimes you're the ball.
The arrogance of public officials should be controlled. What a concept. Good evening. Welcome to Slingshot. I'm Dave DeCoyne.
I'm Gene Gavazzi. Happy New Year, everybody. I've been away the past couple of weeks. Happy New Year to all my viewers, and Happy New Year to my colleagues here, Lee and Dave and Paul in our booth. Good to be back with you guys.
Lee Hamilton with us. Paul is not going to be on set tonight. He's back in the control room, so he's with us in spirit,
His input may occasionally find its way into our conversations tonight.
You know, in a couple of weeks now we're not talking years, months, or whatever. A couple of weeks, new studio will be ready, and we'll be over there.
Yeah, I got to make a trip up just to see a studio,
There you go.
It's going to be great.
Well, there you go.
It's huge, though, right? I bet it's huge.
Must be. Little less reverb, I would say. We're still...
A little bit.
All right, how
about
that? Much better. You know, guys, since I last took the air with you, I think the criminal justice, one of the points of the criminal justice system hit a brand new low, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm going to pick on the juries, a jury in Texas, in this particular matter. They acquitted a young little scumbag, excuse my French, of four counts of homicide by motor vehicle, drunken driving, and a battery of other very serious motor vehicle charges, because a very witty attorney convinced them that this young man was the victim of affluenza. Affluenza, mind you. And for those of you wondering what this is, affluenza, by definition, is the inability to distinguish right from wrong because you were overly spoiled in life with an overabundance of riches, material things, and other involved pampering. That is about the best legal working definition I can provide for it. I've never heard of anything, first of all, so ridiculous in all my life. Number one, absolutely, completely ridiculous.
Well, you don't get out too much.
You weren't supposed to tell anybody. You were supposed to keep that secret. First of all, and number two, for a jury, 12 reasonably intelligent people, for them to buy this tripe and acquit this little twerp of all these serious charges, to me, is absolutely absurd. It goes beyond ridiculous. It goes beyond pathetic. It's totally absurd. And I wish I was on that jury, because I'll tell you what I would have done, fellas. I would have gotten a pillow in my chair, and I'd have gone in the corner of the room, and I got myself in a comfortable position, and I would have told the other 11 people that when you people finally smarten up and wake up here, wake me up, and then we'll come to our senses together here. But in the meantime, I would have gone to sleep in the corner of that jury room, and I'd have stayed there until I had a beard as long as Rip Van Winkle's. Absolutely absurd.
Well, a jury, though, can do pretty much what it wants. And there's kind of a big issue, in the country that you don't hear too much about, called, it relates to this a little bit, called jury nullification. And that is for a jury, when a jury ought to find somebody guilty, but it doesn't because it feels that it would be unjust to do that. So it kind of disregards the law and says, the person isn't guilty, just because of common sense, and lets him go, as a result of that. Government doesn't believe that is a valid thing to do, and they'll typically, fight to have the cases set aside, when a jury does that. I don't know what you would call them, but a lot of right-wing, people believe that a jury absolutely, has that right, that if a person is being found guilty of something and it doesn't really make sense to do it, but they are technically guilty, that a jury should just be allowed to let them go free, say, for heaven's sakes,
That's the idea of a jury, is that you have 12 of your peers to look at the charges and determine, you know, what the disposition should be. You know, there might be things, you know, it sounds ridiculous on the face of it, and I've heard about this affluenza case before. Okay, I've heard of it in the news in the last couple of weeks, but I think, matter of fact, they took off to Mexico, didn't they?
And then as a matter of fact, they did, Lee. Well, for the viewers who don't know what I'm talking about, this kid is Ethan Couch is his name. Came from a very wealthy family, spoiled, pampered all his life. Law didn't apply to him. Did whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted to do so, in typical pampered way. He got into a vehicle, and I think he was his level of intoxication was 4 or 5 times what was allowed by law for an adult. And he killed 4 people in a horrible Texas crash on a Texas highway. And this jury, Lee, acquitted him of the most serious charges because the lawyer convinced them that he was a victim of affluenza. And since his, the acquittal on the most serious charges, he got 10 years probation for lesser charges. Him and his mother fled to Mexico, where they were recently caught. She's looking at 12 years, and I hope she gets 12 years. And he's down in a Mexican jail right now, a juvenile jail, waiting extradition back to the U.S. And they're thinking about somehow transferring his case, his unlawful flight case, to the adult court where they can hold him for 10 years, which I fervently hope is the case here. Because they caught him in some bordello down in Mexico. Yeah, spending all kinds of money on these high dollar ladies and living the good life. No remorse whatsoever over the 4 people and 4 lives he wiped out. No remorse whatsoever, carrying on like he was just the king of the Western Hemisphere. Well, I sure hope they throw the book at him now.
Yeah, it sounds like he needs a good lesson. But, you know, there might be, when we hear these ridiculous court cases like this, you have to bear in mind, there might be things that we don't know, that we're not aware of. Okay, there's certain facts and stuff that would affect people's decisions that either that they know and we don't, or the jury doesn't know certain things, okay, which is the case in quite a few of them, like most notably the O.J. Simpson trial. They had interviews with those jurors after the fact, okay, and they said that if they had known all the things that we knew during the trial, you see, that they would have decided differently. And so you have when you hear these crazy court cases like this, you know, yeah, it's kind of inflammatory, you know, that he gets off because he's a snot-nosed kid. But, you know, maybe there's something else going on, you know, that we didn't consider. So, I mean, you got 12 people you got to convince. I mean, come on. You know, they can't all be whack jobs, all right? I mean, the attorneys wouldn't permit it, first of all. I mean, they got to be normal people. So if you can convince 12 normal people, then maybe they're right. You know,
well,
so
I'd
have to review the case in order to tell. I don't know.
You know, Lee, you bring up a battery of great points here. You really do. First of all, we don't, you know, they probably didn't get the same picture of things we did. You know, and the fact that they had to be reasonably intelligent people in it, or they never would have made it by the attorneys. Those are two excellent and viable points in the case. But by definition of affluenza, I mean, there's little. There's little leeway here for misperception, I think.
Do you think, Gene, let me ask you something. Do you think that any of the jurors have heard that word?
You know, up to this point up to this point in time, probably not, Lee. Probably not, because I never heard of it either. In all the years I was a policeman,
you know,
I never heard of it. So I don't think they did either.
Destroyed by the press. And, you know, they isolate those jurors, you know.
Yeah.
And they probably never even heard that phrase, affluenza.
And I would be inclined to agree with that.
Well, correct. And they might be basing their decision on other facts rather than that argument. You know, whereas the news media since it's sensational, you know, and whatnot, you know, and it's going to get attention, would report it from that aspect. You know, like this is the big, this is the big argument, you know, in this case, you know, and whatnot. Whereas, you know, there might some be other facts out legal. There that
yeah, some humdrum legal technicality isn't going to make news, so that takes right. Sensationalize it. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely.
So, yeah, you know.
Dialogue. What are you doing, man? I'm trying to. I got to look underneath my dialogue.
Yeah, but, man.
You know, this lawyer. I've been stalking whoever this lawyer or lawyers was or were. Had to go way, way up. I mean, you can convince a jury of this totally absurd point. I mean, you know, I'd want him representing me, I can tell you that. Or her, for that matter.
Mm, yeah, well, definitely.
No question about it, but.
Yeah, that'd be a good attorney to have in your back pocket. You
oh,
know?
No question, but. Whoops. Oh, we got. Did we lose Lee entirely, Dave?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, well, you know, again, folks, it's. Lee brings up a great point. You know, what was affluenza? You know, I'm sure most people would have thought it was some spinoff of the flu. You know, I wouldn't doubt that for a minute with a whole lot of folks, but. You know, in all the years I was a police officer, I had never heard of affluenza. And evidently, you know, that's why you get these high-dollar lawyers, because they can, you know, present different angles of defense, do these cases that, you know, we wouldn't even consider. We, you know, unthinkable to you and I. And that's why they get the money to do what they do. Anyway, right now we're going to try to get Lee back in just a minute. And my colleague Dave here is working on getting Lee back. We have a
That'll take a minute or so.
Oh, would you reboot it?
Yeah, well, reboot it yourself. But.
Okay, and you know what? If you don't mind, Dave, I'm going to jump on. To another subject here, folks. You know, I was looking at some weather statistics the past couple days. Regarding the winter season so far, 2015-16. Right now, these two facts, these two points came to mind for me, that this was indeed the warmest December on record, this past December, 2015. Was the warmest since 1890 when they started first started keeping records. And secondly, this is like the, right now, I think the third least snowy winter on record since, again, 1905, going back to 1905, because it's been just rainy and fairly mild, and we've had varying degrees of ice with very little in the way of snow. And this weekend's weather, there's a storm barreling up the coast out of the Gulf of Mexico right now. This too. Oh, here we got Lee back. But this storm too, folks, looks to be a wet one rather than a white one, although the hills of the North Berkshires and the Adirondacks, the Catskills, and the Green Mountains of Vermont might see quite a bit of snow out of this in the highest of elevations. But if you're in the valley location, don't look for too much right now. Okay, we got Lee back.
Okay, that was, you know, for Lee's information mainly. Plugged the power source into the computer, didn't plug it into the electrical outlet. So the computer was running out of power, you know, and went into, you know, rebooted itself, you know, as a result of that, shut off the screen to, you know, say power, you know, and that kind of thing. So, well, you know, I'm only high tech to a degree, you know. Putting a plug in is kind of low tech, you know. I try not to get to that level, you know.
Man, this is a fundamental. If you can't get it straight on fundamentals, buddy, then you know there's not a lot we can do for you.
Well, it's the wireless age, though, you know. You know, and what is more of a wire than a power cord, you know?
I told you there was a message on the screen who tried to warn you, you know.
Well, by the time I got there, though, it was already shutting down, so.
Yeah, you had to get up and walk around the chair to get to it.
It was really odd. I saw it happen. Believe it or not, there was enough buffer in Skype that I saw the screen go black on stage.
No, really.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I really did. I mean, I saw the screen go black, and then immediately the window closed.
Okay. Oh, there you go. And so for all of our viewers at home, This is the comedy of live television.
I think one of the first things it does is shut down the screen to, you know, attempt to save power. So other programs were running, you know, and the webcam was running, you know, and whatnot that you're seeing us through. But
the comedy of live television right here.
Yeah, last week, Gene wasn't here, you know, and I was telling him it was an all-religion show.
Which seemed very interesting to me. Very, very interesting.
Yeah, we had a very good discussion on it. What the original question, it's actually my fault. What happened? I had heard a news comment by Pat Robertson, which is the big Christian guy, you know, the 700 Club guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he challenged, the news story was that Pat Robertson challenged whether or not Islam was really a religion. He said it wasn't. He said it was a cult. So what happened? We started talking about religions and the roots thereof and making comparisons all throughout the show about, you know, religions and cults and stuff. Still, I think one fundamental that he might be right that pushes it over the edge. I was thinking about this week, you know, the thing with Islam is that, you know, if you're not allowed to leave it, you know, and that's the same with a lot of cults, you know. Cults frown on you leaving their organization. As a matter of fact, they go to extreme measures to make sure that you don't. One case in point, Church of Scientology. Once you're in with those guys, you're in pretty much.
They're right.
And you don't stray very far either. Okay.
Right. Okay.
So, but you can leave though. They won't kill you if you leave. You know. So, I don't know if you could call it a cult or not. Actually, I actually looked up a definition online, Wikipedia, about cults, and really, what it boils down to, there's two kinds. There's a sociological cult and there's theocratical cults. Okay, which is they take mainstream. Typically, the cult takes a mainstream religion, perverts it somehow or another, or drops one of the fundamental tenets of that particular religion. You know, say if there's five main things you're supposed to leave, you know, like Christians have 10 commandments, okay, mm-hmm. They might drop one of those, or they might have only 8 commandments they believe in, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is typically how most cults get started, but because they don't adhere to generally recognized principles, practices, they're outside, they're over the line, they're cults, they're not mainstream religions, okay? So, and then you have social cults, okay? Coffee clubs.
Yeah.
All right? Oh, yeah, you do. There are different kinds of cults, too. So we have basically two kinds. We've got one that's social based, and then we have another that's religious based.
Okay. Well, you know what I would have added, Lee, if the question were posed to me? I would have thought that one of the big differences between a religion and a cult is religions, they follow and they worship, you know, one or several in some religions, central supreme being or beings, gods, whether they know him by our Lord God or Allah or Buddha or Jehovah. See, they follow that supreme being, power. And we're cults, on the other hand, pretty much they march to their own cadence, and you know they basically are self-absorbed in their own ideas and values and ritualistic ways.
And usually in those organizations, Gene, they're usually focused on those folks are usually focused on the leader of the cult.
Okay.
As soon as he gets the phone, you know, he does all the talking to God for you and so on and so forth. And what it is, they say that they're the ones that decide that they can disqualify certain elements of a particular religion because they say they don't believe in it or something.
Buddhism doesn't really have a god, and Hinduism, I think you can argue, really doesn't have a god in the sense that we think of it.
That's something we discussed last week also, was that, you know, the idea of a deity, okay, you know, should it be a deity of some sort? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you pointed out, you know, Buddhism doesn't have one. That's not, you know, everything is considered that to them, you know, so, mm-hmm. You know, okay, but then I consider, you know, I asked, you know, what about miracles? Can we count...
Well, before you move off of the point of leaving, Judeo-Christian religion, you know, Judaism and Christianity, have reference in their sacred text, the Bible, about, you know, if somebody wants to leave the religion, you kill them. Does that then turn them into cults?
Good question, David. Yeah, I would think so.
You know, that was the point of the whole question last week, you know. That's the thing in Islam, you're not supposedly allowed. If you do, they're supposed to kill you or something, you know.
Christianity, or, you know, the Old Testament, put it that way, has the same references, basically.
Dave, and you mentioned the Jews, you know, they used to stone people and shit, you know, but they don't do that crap anymore, okay?
Well, but when is the last time, you know, you heard of somebody getting killed for leaving Islam, you know?
I don't know, I don't follow it, but I can look it up.
Well, yeah. You know,
I know that there's cases of people being killed because they don't convert. That happens almost daily now.
Okay, but what? But you're talking, you know, you're not talking mainstream parts of the religion. You're talking about cults, really, that are within the religion. But for example, you have that in Christianity too, where in upstate New York, you know, miles from where we are, they killed a kid for attempting to leave. You know, a Christian sect.
Yeah, that's radical cult, though, Dave.
Well, correct. Well, so is ISIS. You know, I hate to tell you, but ISIS is extremely radical in Islam compared to what.
Dave, that's not that they may that may have. I did not hear about that. Okay, but I believe you. Okay, I'll accept it. All right, that they killed somebody.
Well, Gene's heard the story too, right?
But the thing is, though, the difference, Dave, is that that's not a tenet of Christianity. That's not a principle of Christianity.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. If you're taking a 5,000-year-old text or whatever, or 3,000 years old, however the Old Testament is, it's there as a tenet. And yes, in Islam, you probably have references in the Quran that are phrased very much like that. But in both cases, nobody follows them. They're old. You know, worn out things that nobody follows anymore. You know, people come and go out of Islam all the time without dying, you know?
Yeah, see, what you're touching on here is a popular myth, okay? And what the Western world likes to think is that these folks are just pretty much home folk like us, okay? They want to superimpose their Western values on these Islamic people. Doesn't work. First of all, if you listen to some of these Islamic leaders that have been on the news and have spoken outright, they will tell you there is no way to stop Islam except destruction. Okay?
Well, here's why would you want to?
Here's the deal. Well, here's the deal. Because they want to kill us, Gene. That's why.
Well, is there any way?
Only a small faction of them.
Do you believe?
The whole Islamic religion, they're not after us.
You know, assuming that you guys are Christians, is there any way to stop Christianity?
Let's talk about the Christian side afterwards, okay? Continuing with the Islamic side, what they do is that we see the majority. Okay, you'll hear Westerners, Americans specifically, talking about good Muslims, okay? You'll hear that phrase, good Muslims, okay? And you'll hear them pander to them, too. Oh, well, we don't want to piss off the good Muslims and so on and so forth. Well, let me tell you what. They are not the good Muslims, okay? Not according to the Muslims. Here's the deal. In the Quran, in the Islamic faith, okay, the good Muslims are the ones that go out and jihad for the cause, okay? They are the ones that go down and strike down the infidels, okay? The bad Muslims, according to Islam, according to the Quran, the bad Muslims are the ones that sit at home and do nothing.
Okay, now let me.
We would consider those people peaceful.
Okay, let me just put some numbers to what you're talking about. The good Muslims out there doing the jihad and killing the infidels. There are 1 billion Muslims in the world. If every one of them during their lifetime killed one infidel, we would be seeing something like 15 or 20 million people being killed by that every year. That is not happening. There is nothing remotely like that happening in the world. That's not something that you would be able to hide. You know, it's just, you know, you're probably getting more, take Old Testament again, that, you know, if you find a woman isn't a virgin on the night of her wedding, you stone her to death. That's probably happening more often than infidels getting killed, or whatever.
I totally agree. But the problem, and what you can see in the underpinnings of it, is that you don't see outrage and remorsefulness like you would in a Western culture, okay? When these people shoot people up and they kill hundreds and hundreds of people at a time, you don't see the Muslims rising up and tracking down and prosecuting the other Muslims, okay? Christians do that here in our country, other Christians go and find them and arrest them, and more Christians prosecute them.
Okay, so when we...
You don't see that, because what's happening is that it's actually in a passive-aggressive kind of stance, okay? They are supposed to be doing that. They are not doing it because of, for whatever reason, they don't want to get involved. Who cares?
So when we...
They champion their heroes. They champion their heroes, okay? Which are the ones that are going out there and shooting them up.
So when we send a drone out and shoot up a wedding party of innocent people, and whatnot, we go and prosecute our people that did that, right?
Depends if they were acting within our laws or not.
But there, you can make the same argument with Islam. Then they're acting within their laws.
That is exactly correct. They are operating within their laws.
Okay.
That is a fundamental. Those people are doing what they're supposed to do.
Correct. And when our people bombed a hospital that was run by neutral doctors and whatnot, that we knew was a hospital, we were acting within our law on that. And we didn't prosecute the people that did that. We just said, oh, well, you know, whoops.
Exactly.
It was a member of our armed forces that did this?
Yes.
Yeah, we're not going to prosecute. They were obeying orders?
Yeah.
Okay, we're not going to prosecute.
Then what is the difference between that and an Islamic person going out and killing people that he thinks ought to be killed, and he's obeying orders doing it? What is the difference?
Because one is sanctioned and one is not.
One is Western and one is Islam. You know,
right.
that's
and we are Western.
Mm-hmm. So it's okay if we're savage, but if somebody else is, if somebody else behaves like us, that's terrible.
You know, I've seen on television.
If Islamic people bombed a hospital, killed staff and patients inside of it, we would think that is terrible. Those people should all be brought to justice. There can be nothing redeeming about it. You know,
they
act like us. And they're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Which religion are you saying that tells you to do this, Dave? Which religion are you saying tells us to go bomb these hospitals?
The secular capitalism, American imperialism,
mm-hmm.
Neoconservative doctrine, that we follow.
Okay, but that's social. What religion?
That has become a religion.
It's more or less Protestant. I think the majority of the people here are of the Protestant.
They're bowing down to a flag and worshiping it. You know,
it's a government religion.
Right. You know, it's basically white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, the WASP. You know, the acronym they're up that are they're calling these shots here. I'm sure there's some Catholics that are involved in the military hierarchy and whatnot. But you know, I've seen
You can't say that another people are terrible when they act the same way that we do, and say that we're okay when we do it. You know, that's schizophrenic or whatever. It's delusional, you know?
Well,
no, it's not. Actually, it's reactionary. We should not be in a reactionary state. That's the problem. We should not be responding to the things that they do.
You know, I know what the only thing I know for sure with all this.
Otherwise, you're driving us, right?
Both sides are compelled by one of the, if not more, the deadly sins involved: wrath, vengeance. You know, okay, I hit you, now you're going to hit me. Okay, you hit me, now I'm going to come back and hit you. And it just escalates and snowballs.
Yeah, I think the terrorists are wrong for what they do.
We did root cause analysis on this one time. And you can follow this thing. You can unravel this mess all the way back to the Crusades.
Sure.
Okay? And I did the research on it, too. Okay? And that's where we screwed up. That's really where we screwed up as a civilization. We should have hammered them back then. But we didn't, because we're not assholes. So we let them...
Oh, yeah. That's why. It's not that the...
We let them keep their house. We let them keep their business.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, we
Too.
I don't know where you're getting your history from. We went over there and they kicked our butt all the way back to Europe. You know, and they came and took part of Spain, it as a result of it. It's not that we let them do it, you know, it's that they drove us out, you know.
Right.
Well, the thing I don't understand is, instead of killing one another for supremacy, why can't we all sit down and just talk it out? Why can't we all sit down and say, okay, you're a Muslim, okay, you're a Buddhist, then Paul in the booth over there, you know, he's of the Hindu faith, I'm a Catholic. Why can't we all get along? We're all of the same family. We live on the same planet.
Those were all illustrations. I don't really know if Paul is a Hindu or not, you know, just to make that clear, you know, and whatnot. But you're just making a point.
For the purpose of conversation. Okay, right. Why can't we sit and get along, Lee?
Here's what's happening, Gene. You're taking your Western values, okay, and you're superimposing them on that situation. Those people don't think like that, okay? They cannot be satisfied until the entire world is Islamic, okay? In their mind, the government and religion is all the same thing. The world must be Islamic to them.
But you're talking...
There is no place for anything else, okay? That's what the Westerners don't understand. Okay, this is why they want to destroy Israel. They don't want to coexist with Israel. They want to destroy
Israel. But we're saying this inside of a country that has tried to and is trying to do exactly that ourselves. You know, to go over and dominate the world. That if somebody, isn't part of our culture, we feel we have a right to go in and impose our culture on them. Well, you know, we feel that we have that right.
I thought that's what caused the problem, was because we pulled our troops out.
Why were they there in the first place?
Good question, but the fact is we pulled our troops out, and that's when this ISIS thing formed. So it's the fact that we were not there doing anything that all this nonsense exists. Look at this shit going on in Germany right now. I don't know if you listened to that stuff on New Year's Eve, but they had some rapes and some gropes and a whole bunch of Arab men feeling up women at the train station in Cologne. Upshot, the police chief of Cologne, Germany, has been fired. So, and Germany pretty much sick of the influx of refugees.
Well, they ought to be sick of rape, you know, regardless of whether Christians are doing it or whether Islamic are doing it. I'm sure you have a lot more...
There was no mention of Islamic. They said there was a crowd of Arab men.
Okay, well, regardless, they ought to be sick of rape, you know, and not... what ethnic group or whoever is doing it, you know, that ought to be the point. When they're pointing out, it's an Arab that did it, but, you know, five Christian rapes, occurred over here, but we're not as concerned about them. That is an issue. You know, that is becoming delusional and whatever.
Well, here's an additional problem with that mess. Exodus of Syrian refugees is that ISIS now is putting their operatives in these refugee exoduses, and they're getting set up. It's just free evacuation for them.
Well,
an unlimited movement for them to other countries to get reestablished.
Has it gone the other way? Have we infiltrated Syria and put our operatives in there?
Oh, I'm sure we have.
Okay, are we any worse than them? Are they any worse than us? We're both doing the same thing, you know?
Here's here's what I suggest for the refugees. Basically, they go north out of Syria and then turn left and go into Germany and Europe. I say, let them go north and why not? And make them turn right and go east into Russia. A lot of land, a lot of space in Russia. A lot of everything in Russia, really. They can accommodate them perfectly. They can have complete towns and cities that are all refugee cities and towns and stuff and just their own. And nobody will bother them there. There's plenty of land, plenty of space, plenty of everything. So just start sending them all to Russia.
The Russians aren't going to take them in, Lee.
Russians aren't Russians anymore. They're all busted up now. They're separate states.
Mm-hmm. Well, Russia is still the biggest.
Right.
Russia is still the biggest, state in there.
And especially in lieu of that Russian airliner that was brought down over the Sinai Desert. The Russians are not taking in any Syrian refugees out of fear. Yet a lot of these ISIS operatives will migrate into these regions, these Baltic regions, and get reestablished. And the Russians are on guard against that.
I say put it.
Not like common sense to you.
Put it back in perspective. We were talking about a case earlier, somebody being killed by drunk drivers. There are about 10,000 people killed by drunk drivers in this country. Why isn't there a big push to eliminate that?
Well, there is. I mean,
you could go further. Mandatory jail sentences, first DWI offense. How would that decrease the death rate?
You know, David, that was a very interesting point.
Because that's the one they used to push the gas pedal with.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Well, there you go.
You could do that, but there isn't a push on that. Terrorism is considered a much bigger problem in this country than DWI deaths, even though you have a handful. Under 100 compared to 10,000. It's a much bigger issue.
David, funny you should bring up drunk driving in your example here, that there's an outcry in the land that, why should drunk drivers be given lesser sentences because luck was on their side? They just happened to get caught and arrested instead of killing three people and being, caught that way. And what these people are arguing is, if you're caught for drunk driving, the penalties, even for the first offense, as you indicated, should be as severe as it would be if two or three people did die as a result of your drunken driving. Take the luck factor out of the law and in the overall equation here.
You're correct, Gene. Look at and I would point out a perfect example of how this works and how it works very well. Again, look back at Germany. Look at the Autobahn, okay? There's no speed limit, okay? There is now in some parts, but only recently did they do that in the congested areas. They did put a max, but it's really high, like 75 miles an hour or something like that. I mean, it's really fast. But what happens is that when you have a wreck on the Autobahn, you get prosecuted. They don't come take you away in an ambulance. They take you away in a police car. They prosecute you.
If you survive the crash.
You don't have a wreck on the Autobahn. Uh-uh. You go to jail. You have a wreck.
But my point is that when we're paying more.
They don't have wrecks.
When we're paying. When we're paying more attention to a tiny problem compared to a huge problem, something is wrong with that. We're being manipulated.
Let me ask a question that could point out something wrong. Dave and Gene, both of you guys, when we were growing up, how many times in our life did we hear stories about people busting into nightclubs and shooting people up? And people going into restaurants and shooting people.
Never,
up.
Never.
Frequently.
No, growing up, never heard of that.
It was on TV every week. Was on TV every week.
I never heard of it.
Take a look at one of the old Mission Impossibles. You talk about blowing up nightclubs or one of the James Bond films, what was it, Casino Royale? You talk about a nightclub being shot up,
Hey, we got a caller, David. Let's get him on the air.
That's fictional.
Hi, caller.
Yes, I was just listening to your talk there on gun driving, and it just brought up a movie I was just watching called The Deer Hunter.
Okay,
with Meryl Streep, and And then back in the 60s and 70s, I mean, they had like cases of beer, you know, in the trunk, and they were drinking while they were driving. And as I'm sure you know, that movie. And that's the way it was back then. I mean, you could get, there was no big penalties. It was, he was drunk or she was drunk, you know, and there were no big penalties for it. Well, that's why, you know, someone got killed. Mm-hmm. And the ISIS thing is that I feel that, you know, we get rid of ISIS and we're just going to get some another form of ISIS, but probably worse.
I agree with you.
You know, so I think it's a losing battle as far as that is concerned. You know, that you're just going to get somebody worse.
Mm-hmm.
Bin Laden, you know, and now we've got ISIS, which I think is worse than probably Bin Laden was. So anyway, those were just 2 points that I just wanted to make about, you know, how things have changed from the 20s, drinking while you're driving and no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much for your call, ma'am.
Yeah,
two great points, Lee.
You know? Yeah, she brought some great stuff, you know, but, you know, in regards to the drinking, you know, alcohol used to be a bigger part of our culture. You know, I remember discussions with people here in Long Island. They remember when they had bar cars on the commuter trains. And, of course, you could smoke on the cars, too, you know. So you could get on the train and you could go to the bar car and drink your way home till it's your stop and stumble off, you know.
Yeah.
Alcohol was a big part, you know, and that's been rolled back recently, you know. I think probably because in part of the drunk driving thing, you know, that's
right.
Probably. The other thing I'd like to point out, though, and what we should really focus on is that she's dead on this one, too. She's dead right. If we do get rid of ISIS, you know, we're going to leave a vacuum. What's going to fill it?
Exactly.
Well, a lot of people are saying we should go back in and fill the hole, okay, just for stability. Matter of fact, we should make the whole Syria. Our head of our security says we should make Syria a safe zone where all these refugees can go and live, okay? Why don't we just push them back out of Syria and draw a line and make Syria the safe spot? And these people can go back home.
Well, that's where they are now. They're in Syria.
It's just that simple, you know? We got to do something. If we take out ISIS, there will be a vacuum. There will be a hole.
Right.
And somebody somewhere is going to have to step in and fill it. Now, what I don't get, and not just simply about the Middle Eastern people, but about a lot of third world countries in general, like the Latin American countries and some of the Asian countries, why is it that these people allow these others to come in and do this kind of crap? You know, it seems like if every citizen would just, like, you know, kill one, you know, it would stop the problem there in their own country. Why don't they fight to free their own country from this kind of crap? Why do they throw themselves down and wait for help to come?
Because what you're getting a view of ISIS is a view that the Western news media is giving you. They're not telling you that when ISIS goes in and takes over a town, it sets up a pretty effective government, distributes food to people, does schooling, you know, does medical care and whatnot. You know, we don't think of ISIS as doing that. We think of them as, you know, terrorist bombers, you know, and whatnot. And these aren't people. These aren't people from the outside. These are people who live there. Who are Shiites and say, you know, we've been, you know, dumped on our entire lives. You know, all we want to do is live life as we think we should be able to. And now, you know, what the heck? We've got nothing to lose. We're going to fight and die, you know, to attempt to make that happen. You know.
Well, you know, Dave, I'd like to address the caller's point. She brought up two great points. And you know why things changed. Her first point being, you know, where we could go out and drink and have a few beers in the car and drive around back in the 70s and the 60s, and life was good and nobody put the emphasis into it that they're doing now. Well, as we progress into the 20, you know, late in the 20th century and early into the 21st century now, unfortunately, this society has become the age of the lawsuit. It is the Lawsuit Society. The lawsuits today are at a historical high. In the past 20 years, more lawsuits have been filed in the United States than our collective 210 years prior to this. So, you know, it's the age of the lawsuit. It's the age of free money. You step on my toes, I'm going to take you to court and sue you for what you got. And you know what, guys? You know what? Nobody gives a damn about anything in this country until it starts hitting them in their wallet. When people start getting hit in the wallet, you'd better rest assured that they're going to start caring about what's happening. And you know what? Lawsuits are hitting people. They're ruining lives. I mean, they're bankrupting people. They're taking entire bank accounts. They're taking assets, properties. They're taking pensions from people. Some, and in a lot of cases, frivolously so. In some cases, legitimately so. But you know what? That's why things have changed and become so paranoid. And that's why so much emphasis is placed in drunken driving now and drinking and, you know, in these consequential crashes that occur. It's you know, not that we care so much about what happened to the person. You know, we all feel bad for somebody who got hurt, maimed, or killed. Sure we do.
You know,
the bigger emphasis is how much of my life are they going to take away from me by way of the lawsuit?
You know,
that's what I wanted to say.
I still make the point, though, that, you know, you have, say, two issues, terrorism in this country and DWI deaths. You got the Republican debate coming up. Which of those issues do you think is going to be brought up in the debate? Which do you think
probably
is...
Probably none of them.
Well, terrorism will be.
Well, terrorism, yes, but drunken driving and...
Right, drunken driving will not be.
Of course not.
Why is terrorism viewed as a bigger issue in this country than DWI deaths?
Because it threatens national security, Dave.
You're being manipulated. They're trying to scare you with the boogeyman, you know, who really isn't there, and trying to get you to do certain things to allow them to pass rules and regulations that are taking away our rights, you know, on this. You know, and they've been doing it slowly, you know, not so slowly since, 9/11. And now they want to go further, you know, so they keep pushing it as an issue, even though it's a tiny fraction of what DWI deaths are, and they don't care about that. They're not going to pass any more laws on that. 10,000 deaths a year is acceptable to them, but you know, 10 terrorism deaths is not.
The 10,000 deaths, it's a local problem, David. It's a problem for the states to resolve through local and state law enforcement agencies.
Hey,
they're the ones, you know, that's their job to do.
Let me ask you a question, buddy.
Sure.
You were ex-police. It's always been illegal to drive while intoxicated, isn't it?
Yes.
How long has that law been on the books?
Since they created motor vehicles and the first crash occurred. We got another caller. Dave, let's get them on. And Lee, I want to address that a little bit further with you. We got another caller.
Okay.
Hi, caller.
Hey, gentlemen.
How are you tonight, Paul?
How's everything?
Yeah. Hey, you know what? We're not high on pot tonight.
I can't believe what I'm hearing on your show tonight.
We're not high on pot, Paul.
You know, I wake up in the morning and I think I'm on Mars. Now I tuned into the station and I think I'm on Venus. That ISIS isn't a bigger problem in this country than alcohol. My God. Come on, let's face it. That's a religious war going on there. Going down through history, alcohol didn't affect anybody when they had a few beers and they laid down in a haystack and fell asleep, okay? They didn't have cars to drive. Now you've got a situation here where you've got this ISIS running amok over there.
Mm-hmm.
Religious history, go through history and find out the Crusades, where the Christians were slaughtering the Muslims, and go the other way, where the Muslims were going into nations and slaughtering the Christians. And now we have this thing going on with ISIS. They want to create a nation on the backs of other people. You know, other people have a right to exist. ISIS does not have a right to go in there and usurp a nation and usurp these people's religion. That is the problem. That is the crux. of the situation there. You've got a religious war going on there that goes back thousands of years. You know? You can't go into another. How do you like it if ISIS came over here to the United States and told me, hey, you're a Catholic, you can't go into St. Paul's Cathedral there and pray? Come on, let's face it, gentlemen. You know, you don't go into a nation, usurp everybody, and slaughter people because they don't want to be a part of your religion. That's barbarism. That's going back to the caveman days. We're losing all humanity.
That is what we do to them.
Human beings.
That's what we do to them. We are invading their country. They're not invading ours. You know, don't delude yourself into thinking that.
Well, they sure have invaded our country, David. They're here.
You do it in one country, you get a movement, and you go into another and another and another. Who thought the Soviet Union would exist and take over half of Europe? Come on, let's face it. You know, well, let's read history and let's see what movements go on. You know. The Muslims took over Spain, for God's sake.
Well, what you're talking about is what in Vietnam, what was called the domino theory, that if we let North Vietnam take over South Vietnam, then Cambodia was going to fall to communism, Laos was going to fall to communism, the Philippines were, then Japan, and before we knew it, they were going to be in California. That turned out to be a fantasy. It turned out to be something the Pentagon made up to scare people in this country, to keep us in Vietnam, you know, and what happened? We left. Vietnam became one country, and that was it. Communism spread nowhere else. ISIS wants to form a state with its own beliefs, you know, in Syria and Iraq. If they do that, that will be it. That's my prediction, at least.
Well, I see your point there. I see your point with the domino theory. Now you listen to my theory. ISIS wants to exist, okay, with their religion. Well, they exist within a nation's religion. Why can't they? You've got Catholics here in the United States that exist with Protestants, that exist with Jews, that exist with other Muslims within the confines of a nation. This is a usurping of a nation. This is not to practice your religion. There's a big difference in what's going on with ISIS as what a religion is supposed to be. I don't want ISIS to come here and tell me I can't go to St. Paul's Cathedral and practice my religion because I'm a Christian. Come on, let's face it. Let's face reality here. Mm-hmm. We're not facing reality. I don't know. Well, I'm going to tune in on this. When is that there debate going to happen?
I think it's at 9, if I'm not mistaken.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't want to miss this one because I need a good laugh today.
Okay.
Go get him, Trump.
Okay, have a good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Tomasello. I got to meet this guy.
But the point is, you know, that it's, you know, the boogeyman is a very scary thing, you know, when you don't know, you know, that much about it. He's coming to get you. But until he does, you know, it turns out there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, when you're a little kid, you think there's monsters under your bed, you know, and that kind of thing. There isn't.
As a teenager, a young man, growing up, I don't remember news reports of people busting into restaurants and nightclubs and so forth and soccer stadiums and shooting people up and setting off bombs.
In the 60s?
Yeah.
You had radical underground, you know, in this country, the Weather Underground and whatnot, setting off bombs, robbing banks,
That was like a half dozen people. That wasn't a movement.
ISIS in this country is about a half dozen people, you know, I hate to tell you.
Actually, it's more than that, but did you know that ISIS has grown faster than Al-Qaeda did?
Big deal. Al-Qaeda was what, 20 people living in caves, you know? Where are they now?
They're still around.
Yeah, they're around.
They're still around.
Right, and when we need another boogeyman, you know, that will be it. You know, we ship boogeymans occasionally. You know, it used to be communism when I was growing up. You know, the communist threat, the communists were coming to get us. You know, they're infiltrating our society. They're here. They're all over the place. They're taking over our schools, our government.
It was true, too. They had weapons, too.
Come on.
It was a valid fear.
Yeah, okay. Well. So what happened to them? They just evaporated?
No, they went broke.
Then after the Soviet Union falls, what happens? We're saying, oh, gee, you know, no threat, whatever. We can start cutting defense spending.
No, that's not true, because they still got all the weapons.
Right, yeah. right away, though, after they started saying that, we were supposed to be getting the peace dividend and whatnot, right away, Al-Qaeda popped up. You know, these people living in caves in Afghanistan, and Clinton started shooting SAM missiles at them. So we can't cut defense spending. We got to keep the huge military presence and whatnot, because now terrorists, you know, are the big threat. You know, give me a break.
Arabia. Al-Qaeda started in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
It started by bin Laden, okay? He was the son of one of the big construction guys in Saudi Arabia. That's why he had a lot of money.
Yeah.
His dad had a lot of money because he ran one of the biggest construction companies. But he didn't like the way Western people were treating the Muslim people, so he decided to be radical about it. And it wasn't until after we started chasing him that he had to go to the mountains in Afghanistan, okay? Actually, he wasn't really in the mountains in Afghanistan. Actually, he was in a compound somewhere in Afghanistan, in a two-story house is where he lived. But nonetheless, they found him, and they exacted our form of justice on him. So there you go.
You know, it goes back. Remember, Bill Clinton is the first person to shoot at him, shooting SAM missiles from... off of U.S. carriers, Indian Ocean or Persian Gulf, I think,
right.
You know, firing at him when Clinton was in office, you know, before 9/11.
Okay, now you're talking about Clinton, okay? See, this is another Western myth, okay? What they'll have you believe is that somehow or another, we did something in our history to piss these people off, and now we're getting retribution on our ass. No, that's not the case. We could have not done anything. First of all, every major nation kills babies, okay? Every major nation bombs innocent people, okay? Every single one. Name one that does not, okay? Now, if you look at that and you say, okay, well, all right, we didn't do that. The reason that they're mad, the reason they want to kill us is because we exist, okay? That's why. It doesn't make a difference what we did 20 years ago or 100 years ago or even 1,000 years ago. They want to kill us because we are here.
But when they behave like we do and we find their behavior as wrong and ours as acceptable, we're under a delusion. We're kidding ourselves. You know, if it's wrong for them to kill babies, it's wrong for us to kill babies.
You know? It all boils around the old proverb, guys. It is far, far easier to destroy than it is to create. And that's exactly why things in the world are progressing the way they are.
20 seconds. You got 15.
And we'll pick it up next week, folks. Good night. Okay.